The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 11th chapter, verses 17 to 27 and 38 to 53. When Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there'll be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon today is based on the gospel text just read, John chapter 11, 17 to 27, 38 to 53. The title is Raising the Dead. Jesus once told one of his disciples, who wanted to bury his father, "Let the dead bury their own dead." Matthew 8:22. I don't think a more insensitive word ever came from the mouth of our Savior. After all, we need to be sensitive to people who are going through the loss of family, don't we? Everyone knows that, if you are able, you should attend the funeral of family members and lifelong friends. To not attend is antisocial behavior. Furthermore, Jesus claimed to be a religious man. In most people's minds, there's nothing more religious than a funeral. But then Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their own dead." That's kind of hard on the funeral business, don't you think? Jesus had a different attitude toward death than you and me. This is one of the things that is apparent in our gospel lesson this morning, the story of the raising of Lazarus. It wasn't just the fact that he understood sin, death, hell, heaven, and the fate of eternal souls. It was more the fact that Jesus saw death with a capital D. He saw death personified, and he saw it as Satan's right-hand man, the H-bomb in the arsenal of evil. When Jesus saw death, it was the old evil foe, meaning deadly woe, to give him and his friends a hard time. When Jesus saw death cast its pall over his best friends, he narrowed his eyes, clenched his jaws, and cursed Satan under his breath. He could have said, "Curse you, Satan! You're picking on my best friends. They're just children. They're my children. Why don't you pick on someone your own size, you bully, you monster?" The death of Lazarus was something that hit home close to Jesus. John 11:35 says that Jesus wept at the death of his friend. People that witnessed this said, "Look how he loved him." Jesus didn't have many friends. His apostles were not close friends. They were his trainees, his protégés, although he called them his friends. They were seminary students in his pastoral academy, training to be future ministers of the word. Teachers keep their students at arm's length to maintain their authority and their ability to train them, and Jesus was no different that way. We know that Jesus' own family disagreed with his preaching and healing ministry. His mother wanted him to come home. What mother doesn't want her sons and daughters close to her? Mary was no different that way. She would say, "Come on, Jesus, come home and stay with me. I miss you. I have a room out back, and your seminary students can stay with the relatives. You remember my goat cheese and matzo ball soup, don't you? Come back to where you belong. I have a couple of friends whose daughters would love to meet you." But Jesus rejected the offer every time. Jesus did have some friends his own age that were not relatives and were not part of a seminary. They were Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who lived in Bethany, just east of Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. You probably remember Mary and Martha. Martha scrubbed pots and pans, while Mary studied the Bible with Jesus and Lazarus. They were best of friends, like the best lifelong friends you have. You're always welcome at their house when you're in town and vice versa. When you see each other, you just pick up where you left off talking last time. And then Lazarus died. Jesus was out of town. He could have made the trip in time for the funeral, but he said, "Let the dead bury their own dead." When Jesus finally arrived in Bethany, he had the conversations about life and death with Mary and Martha that you heard in our gospel. Then he walked with the grief support group over to Lazarus' tomb, and he wept. Why did death have to take one of his few real friends. There were many people at Lazarus' tomb that day. They were coming into Jerusalem for the Passover. Many of them knew the stories about how Jesus brought back to life the daughter of Jairus and the son of the widow at Nain. Jesus told the young men to move the stone away from the face of the cave. They said to him, "Master, that is not a good idea. He's been dead for 4 days. The smell is going to be bad, and the sights might even be worse. Let the dead rest, please." Jesus narrowed his eyes, clenched his jaws, and cursed Satan under his breath. "Move the stone," I said. At this point, I'm sure that many people became horrified. You see, they probably did not think that Jesus could repair the ravages of death on the corpse. They thought Jesus was going to animate a corpse. They thought that Lazarus was going to come back from Hades, with the flesh coming off of his bones and his eyes popping out. It would be the zombie apocalypse, and that would be a fate worse than death. There are lots of movies today that illustrate what the people thought was going to happen that day. One of my kids' favorites is Pirates of the Caribbean, starring Johnny Depp. Depp plays the character of Jack Sparrow, captain of a pirate ship called the Black Pearl. The pirates on the Black Pearl make the mistake of stealing Aztec gold that has a curse on it, and it causes them to die slowly until they are more dead than alive. They look fine during the day, but at night their true condition is visible in the moonlight. The plot of the movie is about the pirates' attempt to become normal again by returning the gold and ending the curse. In the meantime, they are undead, that is, animated corpses. When Lazarus came out, he looked something like an Egyptian mummy, but he didn't stink. When they unwrapped his grave cloths, his skin was as good as new. It was as if he had never died or become sick. The news of Lazarus' resurrection went immediately to the religious leaders, who recognized a threat when they saw it. If Jesus could raise a man who had been dead for 4 days, he could raise an invincible army and take over the country. The religious leaders realized that they better strike first before he raised his invincible army, and they plotted immediately to kill him. What should Christians learn from this story of the raising of Lazarus? First, you should not fear death as other people do. When a Christian believer dies, he passes not into the power of death, but into the hands of Jesus, who raised 3 people and himself. Second, you should realize that the main benefit of your religion is eternal life, which you receive initially through baptism and renew regularly through receiving our Lord's body and blood. Because of the forgiveness of sins and these sacraments, death has no power over you. Death is real, that is true, but it is only a passing phase. It is temporal for Christian believers. As Jesus said about Jairus' daughter, she is only sleeping. Third, you should realize that you have something that everyone wants. Anyone who realizes that they're subject to death, and that's all sane people, wants to be protected from it and rid of it. You should not keep the secret of eternal life to yourself. You should share it with your friends, relatives, neighbors, and co-workers, especially when they are personally touched by death or show signs of being scared of it. That is when they need to hear that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and how they can receive him as their Lord and living Savior. As we approach Holy Week and the season of Easter, may the story of Lazarus fill you with new expectation of the life in the world to come. In our Savior's name, Amen.